from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Here we are, listeners. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And my name is Rich.
Now, this week is a fine week because, as I'm sure Norm has realized, we're in the studio. And that's because our beloved team, the Wildcats, lost yesterday, which means...
Ah, shucks.
Which means we get to have a show.
And what sport was that? Cricket? Ice curling? Shuffleboard.
What's that one with the hammers and the balls that go through little
bocce ball?
No, the big old mallets.
Cricket
on a lawn.
Croquet.
That's the one. Yes.
Crochet.
I think that's what it is.
They're a croquet team.
Yes. Croquet. Isn't that right?
Isn't that like? I think I saw something at the store that was food that was called a croquet.
It might be.
I don't know how that works.
All right. Well, we do have a program, as you can tell. I'm far too lazy to put anything on the website saying that, so hopefully... Of course, I never said we might not have a show, so really, it cancels out. anyway, if you want to learn more about our show, or, well, I guess just go on there and be in the chat. Are you in the chat, Rich?
I am.
All right, Rich is in the chat. ChatterboxGameshow.com is the official URL or domain name for the website. We've also got simpler ones like Chatterboxers and Chatterboxer. Head on over there. And if you want to call during today's... fantastic episode, and you happen to be listening live, 866-536-1100 is the phone number, and that's on the website as well. Now,
there's another reason you know why it's a special week.
The turkeys?
No, the Black Fridays.
Okay.
Or really, there's only one.
Because of all the video games?
So, yeah.
I'm going to be celebrating Thanksgiving on Friday this year.
I think it's there's technically more than one Black Friday this year. There's like Black 2 weeks around
Thanksgiving. Well, yes, I've heard that they've been trying to expand it more and more.
Oh, it's been all over the internet lately.
But I always find Black Friday to be interesting because I always feel like I want to go and get something, like a deal on something. But by the time this day rolls around... There's nothing I want.
That's true. Now, what's interesting, though, is that you don't quite understand consumerism like a New Hampshireite understands consumerism.
I suppose not, because the other thing, too, is that, like, yeah, like some people will just buy all kinds of stuff just because it's on sale, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, I want this, and the things that I want are never on sale anyway like this. So,
judging by the fact that the guy who got trampled and killed was not in New Hampshire, we're talking about last year.
It was in like New York or something, right?
I don't even want to guess. Maybe, sure. But
maybe,
it was,
maybe Newark.
I would remember it better if it was New Hampshire. It's not. But I just have this assumption that New Hampshireites are crazy shoppers because we have all sorts of shopping, first of all. The reason being that we don't have sales tax up there. What?
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 I'm not.
Rich just makes these faces at me like he's missing something. Anyway.
I thought that, Delaware, too.
Yeah, there's a few states, right, that don't have sales tax, and I imagine their borders are fraught with shopping malls just like New Hampshire's. So we would get this influx of Massachusetts people, whatever they're called, probably...
That stinks because you have everyone in your state and then everyone in the neighboring state.
Yes.
Shopping in the same
So it's
place.
A busy time. Lots of the deals... and I just assumed that was a New Hampshire thing, but I mean, I've lived elsewhere long enough that I see that other people are also insane. It's not just New Hampshireites, but there's probably something a little bit special about shopping there. And this year, I'm going to be flying on Thanksgiving and celebrating Thanksgiving the day after. So it'll simplify things. It means I don't have to pay as much to fly on Wednesday. That's the plan.
It's very frugal of you, Alon.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. You just shifted a day over and everything's good.
So I got a new TV.
You did, and you got a fantastic deal on that television.
Yeah, it was. I'm hoping that the price drops so that then I can go back to Fry's and claim my price guarantee thingy that they do.
For like 30 days or something like that?
Yeah.
For one that they won't have in stock anymore?
Probably.
It doesn't matter if it's not in stock, does it?
I don't know.
He bought it, and within 30 days, if the price lowers,
as long as they have
why would the price go down at that store if that store doesn't have any to sell?
Well, I mean, it could be that that TV might go on sale.
Okay,
for
let's
Black
not
Friday.
Get off track here, guys. All right, eyes on the prize.
I'm just saying.
All right. So, but actually, the funny thing is about this TV that I didn't realize how good it was until like having it for like 5-6 days, because it's got this 240 hertz feature.
Awesome. Right?
For the record, we're talking about the 52-inch XBR9 Sony.
That's right.
All right, so keep going.
And so, as is usual with consumer products of this caliber, there's a million types of settings that you can turn on and off, and there's this confusing morass of options that you have to experiment with until you find out what works good for games.
And the description in the menus are not very good.
No, it's terrible. Because,
this makes it more like a cinema feeling.
Yeah, it's completely useless. And
Cinemotion.
It pains me to say that because... Hold on. I'll get to that. But yeah, I feel very, very sad because Sony's usually really, really good at least, you know, the TV interfaces. And I'm a big interface guy, so I usually buy Sony because their user interfaces tend to be better than the competitors.
There's an option that says more of a cinema feeling.
Okay,
that's not the exact description.
We're
but it's called Cinemotion.
Okay, so
and they just say like it's more like the movie experience.
There's this thing called Cinemotion.
Cinemotion and Motion Flow.
And there's another thing called Motion Flow.
What do
they
I
sound
these
like?
Mean?
They do the same thing, right?
And then to make matters worse, okay, my options for Cinemotion are Auto 1, Auto 2, and Off.
Did it come with a manual? Does it explain this?
No, of course. Of course it comes with the manual, and of course they don't explain it.
Well, of course you didn't read it.
No, I actually read it. I read it cover to cover.
Really?
Yes, because they tell you about secret things like changing the backlight timeout on the remote control, which is awesome.
That seems very specific.
Yes, and you can only find that out if you actually read the manual. Anyway, right? So, and then there's Motion Flow, right, which the settings are low.
That's the Hertz thing.
High and off, yeah.
That's the thing that turns on the super Hertz.
It took me a while to figure out, yeah, you got to put the Motion Flow on high, which gives you 240 Hertz, right? Which, obviously, you're not getting real content, but what they do is they interpolate the frames.
Which basically means figure out.
Right.
Produce on the fly.
Right. See, I just assume that people know what these big words mean, and then everything is much better.
Yeah.
And then there's Cinemotion, which does something else, but I'm not sure quite exactly what. But I figured out that if you set one of them to auto one and the other one to high, right, and you turn everything else off, I can say ass, right?
Sure.
Yeah. The picture, the moving picture, is just smooth as a baby's ass. It's just, first of all,
unless it moves quickly, in which case it's not.
But even still, it's still kind of like it's just you still get the smearing, which kind of sucks for LCDs. But if it's not moving too fast, it just looks absolutely beautiful. And the irony of this is that when you turn it on for the first time, at least for me, like it was like, okay, this looks pretty good. I'll leave it here. Right.
Yeah. And you don't figure it out until you turn it off.
Right. What the real huge difference comes when I'm using the TV for like 2 or 3 days like this, right? I get accustomed to the extreme refresh rate. And then when you came in, right, you came over to check it out, and I hadn't turned it off since then. So I was like, okay, well, look at this difference, right? And I turned it off, and it was like garbage. With it off, I was like, I'm just looking at garbage. Like, right. I never thought that, like, 30 hertz or 60 hertz could look so crappy. It was amazing.
So the game that we noticed this most on, he was prepared to show me Demon's Souls, but we started off playing Trine. And Trine, it actually seems like a pretty good game. We played the demo. Essentially, it's a game where you have three different characters, a wizard, a thief, and a knight. And
it's
they
like,
all do
it's
different
like
things.
Lost Vikings, the redo.
But My reason for bringing that up is that the thief character uses a grappling hook and therefore swings, right, like a pendulum.
Yeah, so this was like the best test bed that we could find.
So this character is swinging and, much like Pitfall Harry might.
So the camera's swinging too.
Yeah, the camera swings as well, but also the character swings on the screen fairly quickly, but in a very controlled, repetitive way, which is what's important. And so he's got these special motion additives turned off, and it's choppy. Right?
It's like
you wouldn't have noticed it was choppy unless you turned it on and said, "Whoa, that's really smooth."
That's the irony of it all. Is that I just can't believe how bad it looks with this stuff off. It's horrible. I feel like I'm playing the Jaguar or something.
Yeah, but for our listeners who are on normal televisions that aren't all souped up, you're going to look at it and say, "No, it looks fine to me."
Right.
And we'll say, "Well, you come over and look at ours TV, and you'll see the difference."
Have you also watched HD movies on this as well?
Well, I haven't watched a Blu-ray, but I've watched HD programming.
Because I don't know, with games, I assume it makes it look a lot nicer, but there's certain things with TVs today, and I don't know if it's this CineMotion thing with these higher refresh rates, but I've seen TVs at Fry's and Best Buy
that just make it look weird.
It's like a super high refresh.
That's the 120 hertz thing,
real,
which of course the same with 240.
But it is.
This is what it is. Now people call it the soap opera effect, and it's just smoother. You think it's weird, and I'm not saying you personally as much as I'd like to, but
I do too.
You think it's weird because you're just so accustomed to watching a video screen with that with the other refresh rate. It seems strange to you. But once you get accustomed to watching it like this, I tell you, it's normal. It's beautiful. Life is good.
I know what you mean about video games, but you know what I'm talking about.
With video, it's very different because it's
a matter of filming at 24 frames per second and then playing at 60 hertz, and then it's like this weird
thing
that happens on the screen.
Rich, it's just a question of what you're used to. And when you watch movies in the theater, you're watching at your 24 frames, and when you watch TV, you're looking at 30 frames. 30 real frames anyway.
29.9, it doesn't matter.
9.7, right? Yeah. So it's just different, but it's better. What's weird is one of my friends said it kind of looks like
better.
It looks like you're on the set of where the movie's made, so it looks faker. Like you can tell it's on a soundstage or something.
I've heard that description, but I don't think it's really faker. I just think that people aren't used to seeing that high refresh rate. Period.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine this: you're on a soundstage, and so the important things, or say you're on a green screen, the important things up front are very, very clear, and the stuff in the back is going to look the way it looks, like on the green screen or whatever. Whereas if you're on the older TVs, or these not super awesome TVs, everything sort of has that effect, and it levels out the foreground and the background and all that stuff.
Right.
And so I can understand what he's saying about how it sort of looks like you're on a soundstage, because it probably makes it just that much more clear.
Well, I did. I was able to see just exactly how much hair David Letterman has on his wrist.
Yeah, right.
With the HD.
But, Rich, you gotta. It is so good. It is good. But a friend of mine had to turn off the motion flow stuff on his TV, which is a Samsung, so it's not called motion flow.
He's a wuss.
But because every once in a while it'll jump, and it was really bugging him. That's funny. The whole TV just turned.
So, buy an XBR.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we've been talking about my TV, but I think we talked enough about my TV.
Yeah, we probably don't need to talk about TVs all day. But people have heard me talk about it multiple times. And on my Twitter account.
Yeah, but the last thing I just want to say is that if you're looking for a TV that's really good for video games, XBR9 is actually pretty good.
Dude, there are so many TVs out there that are great for video games.
But 240 hertz, man. It's 120 hertz.
After seeing it, I'm upset that I don't have a TV with that stuff.
And that brings me no amount. It's just an endless amount of joy.
Do you know what your latency on the TV is?
I don't know. It's
probably low.
4 milliseconds according to the buy sheet.
Is that what they say?
Okay. I believe.
All right, 4 is pretty good.
I believe. I might be thinking of a different TV, but I bet yours has the same thing. One thing that's weird is if it does that interpolation stuff, it needs to know what's coming in the next frame, which means you're seeing a delay. Technically, of course, that delay probably would happen anyway.
It's possible, but it's just so much better with it on.
It's very small.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, if it knows what's coming up next, it has to be showing you something that has already happened. And so
it doesn't necessarily know what's next.
It doesn't necessarily.
It's just. Then okay. how does it guess between so current frame and the next frame?
No,
it doesn't know what the next frame is.
It's receiving 60 frames per second, and it's a 60 hertz. So basically, just displays one frame per refresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's 240
But it's always
hertz,
showing you the current
frame. It's going to show you the current frame.
Yes.
And then if the current frame is the same frame, it just shows it again. It just refreshes.
Yeah, but that's not what this is doing. This is creating new frames based on the current frame and the next frame. Or you could say the current frame and the last frame, except then you would have already seen what happened.
It
does need to know what's happening one
no,
frame
it's,
in
it's
advance.
No, it's not.
Yes, it does, sir.
I don't know that it's mixing frames. It's not doing
okay,
any.
Okay, guys. Eyes on the prize. Let's keep going.
All right. So,
anyways,
you think about it a little longer, and when you come back, you can apologize later.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
If you'd like to call in and tell Rich how wrong he is, you can call us at 866-536-1100.
And if you want to educate yourself so you don't sound as silly, you can go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you can probably talk about all this stuff with people who are smarter than us and can tell you why I'm right and Rich is wrong. And so, moving to another topic, perhaps a little bit more related to video games, I got a new iPhone game recently. This is generated actually by a couple of friends of ours.
That's right.
That we knew years ago, but moved away recently, right? To the Georgia.
Yeah. Are we allowed to say what it is and who it is, or is it
yeah? I mean, it's in the credits.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I don't want you to mispronounce the name.
Okay. Well, I used to work with this guy named Patrick, and he made an iPhone game, which was pretty cool.
Oh, look at it, the Childers, Patrick Childers. All right. So the iPhone game that he made is called Drag Me Home. It's only 99 cents, right? So first off, you're not going to expect that much from a 99 cent game. So I'm not telling anybody this is the next.
Although I'm expecting
breakthrough.
I mean,
game.
I'm expecting the next breakthrough.
No, it's a time waster, and so that's sort of the topic that I want to discuss. It's essentially produced as a time waster, as many iPhone games are.
Okay,
because
I played it.
I love the music, by the way.
And the only thing it reminded me of is just how annoying iPhone games are to play in general. Because
this is great background music.
Because my fat ass fingers are covering.
Go ahead.
The effing screen all the time.
Can we hear this? It's so hard to get it pointed at the mic properly.
Yeah, it's nice. So this music encapsulates quite well the rage that I feel when I try to play a game where my fingers covering up the effing screen.
So that is a frustrating part of it. But what I want to focus on is, first of all, that it's not horrible. The art and the sound is cool, and it's kind of fun. Basically, all you do is you flick guys around a screen, which is all you're going to get from a dollar game. But think about the games that have come out for the iPhone and this new like casual game thing, right, where we're producing time waster games. And I'm sort of curious, like, how do you feel about that as a developer who makes more involved games? And, like, is there a place for this stuff?
Well, this is funny, right? Because you're using the word time waster, but you're actually just using the same word, using the same term as what people call, like, casual games, right? Which we've kind of, like, we've touched
on
this before.
Well, all games are time wasters, just in a certain amount.
Sure.
But this is a game that's intended to only last, like, a couple minutes. No one's going to last more than a couple minutes because it gets way too hard really fast.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with games that are short in duration. What I do have a problem with, which I'm trying to kind of twist the subject into surreptitiously, is that the whole idea of like a game that's like, quote, casual is just something that really irks me because the whole...
You don't like that categorization?
Somebody said, I can't take credit for saying this, but somebody said once very eloquently that it's games are not casual or not casual. People are. You can't characterize a game as being one way or the other in terms of those words because the word casual implies that you don't care about the outcome, right? So there's really kind of like two levels of time waster that we're talking about. There's the one guy who doesn't care about the outcome, right? So we can say he's very casual about this game, right? So somebody who fits into that category, you know, they don't care what they don't care if they win. They don't care if they lose. They just want to see some, you know, funny action happening and maybe hear some music and watch some graphics and animation. And whatever happens, I mean, it's almost like a slot machine. I'm like, oh, I'm moving this and doing this. Okay, and then that's satisfying for them. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting that and nothing more from a video game experience.
You've heard me say several times on the show that I've had more fun with the casual games that I've been playing over the past couple of years than most other games.
Okay.
Do you recall this?
No, but okay.
On several occasions I've said this. And
sure.
Like, Peggle is an example I use where I just got that and decided, hey, this is actually a lot of fun, and I sat and played it for hours, which is longer than I would play a not casual game for
right.
on many occasions, but it's not like I went back to it too often.
Well, I think I have a theory about this, and this actually started the first time that I noticed this was a long time ago when me and a few friends were playing, Silent Hill 4, right? And we were just playing it to check it out for the first time, right? And I was watching, I wasn't playing, right? And I made the remark that, like, hey, this looks really cool, right? But I didn't want to play it because I didn't want to be challenged.
You didn't want to be challenged?
Yeah, like, I wanted to see, like, the whole environment of that game looked really interesting, but I had no inclination to actually play it and go through the steps and the effort of doing the things you had to do in that game because they just asked more from me that I wanted to give at that moment, right?
And we're talking about Silent Hill.
Right. And so it doesn't have to be...
Is that game really challenging?
It doesn't have to be Silent Hill. It was just... That's just an example. That's just the stage that we've set for this illustration.
Okay.
And I think this happens a lot. A lot of people, you want to do something that's enjoyable, but you don't want to feel pressured or challenged, and that's a legitimate feeling to have. And, I mean, I go through this a lot of times when I want to play a game. I'm actually really torn a lot of times because I'll be like, I want to play Dirt 2. You know, Dirt 2 is really cool. It's like, oh, man, I'm feeling kind of tired today. You know, because, like, games that are difficult to play, games that aren't necessarily difficult to play but actually, like, require a certain level of engagement and concentration, right? I mean, that demands something from you, right? If you're not prepared to actually exert that kind of effort, then you're not motivated to play. And I think that's why maybe you have this feeling with some of these games.
Because I don't want to get invested?
Not that you don't want to get invested, but it's just, it's invested, I don't know, that's not the right term.
But I mean, that's honestly, that's how I've been feeling,
cause
right?
Because you invest time in it, right? So that's why I don't think it's the right term. You don't want to exert a lot of effort.
No, but there's a difference, right? So you start playing, I've got a perfect example. Right now, in a box in my house is Borderlands, which a friend of mine, we talked about Johnny the roommate,
right.
No longer roommates. So he brought it over and actually left it on the porch for me because we were exchanging things, right? And he left the game for me to play.
Right.
I guess he was done with it. And it's been sitting in that box for like 2 or 3 weeks now, waiting for me to play, but I don't want to get into it because then you're like, okay, maybe I'll enjoy it and I'll play for a couple hours. But like, what have I gotten in the 2 hours? If I'm only getting the tip of the iceberg of this game,
right.
I'll be like, well, I didn't really get much out of it because it's only a little bit. I need to play the whole thing to really experience it,
right.
But I'm never going to have time to really play the whole thing, so don't even start.
Yeah, well, that I think is something that's
so
it's little aside point.
Well, no, because like when I say investment, I mean I don't want to start with something that I'm not going to really be able to,
okay, so that,
to
I
push
think,
through.
I think that's a little bit askew. Not that – I mean, it's interesting. But it's a little bit askew from what I was getting at. I kind of call what you're saying like the Street Fighter effect. Like, in order to really enjoy Street Fighter on the level that people who play and perform do, you have to invest an insane amount of time in it.
Yeah. I don't like the analogy because it's a different thing. I'm talking about time playing a game. But
it is time playing. You have to...
I don't care about getting good at it because you don't need to get good at games like that. You just keep going forever and respawn at infinitum.
There's a few things.
But I understand what you're saying. I understand the analogy, whether or not I like it.
I guess we'll have to come back.
Yeah, you're going to continue that point about casual games.
Right. Let's see if we can remember when we'll be back.
All right.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
So, we're back, and while Ara and I were busy talking, last segment, Rich was busy figuring out this whole interpolation thing.
Yeah, I really don't want to go back to this.
And we just had a fantastic chat over the break. Rich figured out what we were talking about, right?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I know this type of thing is possible.
60 seconds, man.
But, like, I just don't understand how it's done in real time on a TV.
He's just amazed that a television can do that.
That's why other people have jobs and expertise.
Because I know these things have been done where you have to, like, put it through processing and then wait an hour, and then ta-da, it works and it's smoother. But this is like, no, right now at 124th of a second, boom.
Well, it's not perfect.
Frame.
You know what would be funny is watching Chinese ping pong on that television. Because that stuff moves fast.
Okay, so let's go back to what
we're talking
saying.
About casual games. So we're casual games.
We were kind of meandering around a bit, and that's okay, but...
Beating Frenzy 2, man. Lots of fun.
So I'll tell you this. I'll give you an unequivocal opinion about this either way. Personally, what I'm interested in is not the casual type of player, because a casual player, by definition, right, one who doesn't really care about the outcome of the game, actually really isn't as interested in what's really going on and paying attention to what's going on. It's kind of like the TV couch potato, right?
Okay, I'm just doing weird things.
I don't know what
he's
doing over there. Did you take some pills before the show or what?
No, not at all.
Huff some glue, what? Okay,
because they can't see what's going on in here.
I know they can't, and I wish I was one of them. So it's not interesting to me because, in order, I think, to make a successful or a good casual game, one that appeals to people who are in this casual type of mood, right, is that you don't really have to, you just have to make sure you don't ask a lot from the player. You know, it's kind of like it's like a slot machine, right? There's not a lot of interaction going on. It's kind of like Peggle, right?
There's potentially a lot of gameplay, but it's broken up into very, very small chunks.
It is, and a small amount of input results in a large amount of action a lot of times in these style of games. Not all of them, but
you could say the same thing about Tekken.
You could.
That's supposed to get a laugh out of somebody, but it's totally true.
You could, and of course you can totally spam Tekken by just mashing down on the controller like crazy. And I mean, you could also argue that it is a good feature of a game that a casually minded player can get some satisfaction out of jamming the controller
like Bayonetta
mercilessly. And also at the same time, though, there's a deep and intricate fighting system where somebody who knows what they're doing could actually extract further levels of enjoyment out of it.
Okay, so I'm kind of losing track of the actual point.
But here's the funny thing about...
Let's wrap it up.
This is like a getting a big picture here, but the funny thing about games, right? This is the only medium, really, that can demand a lot of exertion from the player. I mean, when you're watching movies, you just got to watch. Sit down and watch.
Okay.
Listening to music, same difference.
Yes.
Books, little more involved. Now you have to read.
Yeah. More involved.
That does get in
the
way.
A little bit more involved. You do have to read. You have to orient the media toward your face. You have to turn the page.
I would argue that reading is more involved than playing a video game, unless video games require reading, in which case... Sometimes those
are boring.
I'm not
going into that. Okay, look, playing Ikaruga is more difficult than reading. Okay, I'm not even going to argue if you want to argue about
Ikaruga.
That.
Okay, that's like, okay, I don't know.
Decisions have to be made in video games.
Here's my point:
is that
games, especially skill based games, especially more sophisticated.
You mean like Drag Me Home for the iPhone?
More sophisticated skill based games.
Okay,
demand a lot from the player, and they can be very satisfying, but the player has to be willing to give what the game asks of them. They have to put in so much more effort than other media. And so I think this is an interesting dichotomy here, right? Because we're fickle as humans, right? Sometimes we want to put in a lot of effort into something because we're really motivated to get involved with it. Other times we're completely demotivated and we don't want to try too hard. And because that's our prerogative, we just feel like that sometimes. And so sometimes there's games that are appropriate for one, sometimes there's other games that are appropriate for the other. That's my take.
All right. So all I wanted to say is that the iPhone has a lot of these small time waster games on it. And I have very mixed feelings about it. Because on the one hand, sometimes they're actually interesting. But they're interesting for very, very short amounts of time. This game I enjoyed, but like just for a couple minutes.
Right.
Right. And so I might take it out. But in particular, what I did not like about this game is that it's got that difficulty curve that ramps up, that it's not like playing it more will make you much better.
Right.
It just gets ridiculously hard and impossible to play a little bit too fast. I still urge anyone to get it in order to support the independent developer. And it's only 99 cents. But
and what's the game called?
Drag Me Home for the iPhone and iPod Touch. So it's fun, but for a very short amount of time. But for a dollar, you would expect that. And you could just break it out at any point. But I like a game that allows you to get better over time, like with,
sure,
with some sort of education or experience.
Game may be that type of game, but I think that it's...
To a small degree.
It's only to a small degree because it ramps so quickly. I think that, and this is also endemic of games that ramp difficulty very quickly in general, you have to dedicate more practice than normal, and you have to be in this very uncomfortable, outside of your comfort zone type of state a lot more than other games in order to get practiced at it. So I think that probably you could get better at it over time, but it would be a very boring, arduous experience. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well,
but check this out. I'm about to do a brilliant segue here. This reminds me of these types of games, right? You said that you're interested in it for about like 5 minutes and then you're done with it, right? So someone like myself who has tons and tons of video game playing baggage, right? There's a lot of games that I see, I will just completely get disinterested in it in about 10 seconds because I've played so many games that have similar type of structure that I just like, I already know where it's going and I'm just like bored.
Something new.
I'm just like ADHD. Like my hands are in the air flailing right now.
Well, that's
just
why
like
I like
leaving.
To play a lot of these casual games that I mentioned because they're kind of new in certain cases, like not in all cases, but
right. Right. I mean, like sometimes like you think it's new and then you figure out what the mechanics are and you're like, oh, it was just like that other thing. Okay. I'm done.
Well, either they're new or they're something that was done before, but it's only the good part of that other thing that,
Even then, right? Like I feel just suddenly disinterested once I know where it's going, right? And this brings me to how we were playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yes, which is fantastic.
Right? Which is, it's a great game, but I've played so many Mario games, right? I am just completely disinterested in collecting the coins. I have collected so many millions of coins in my life, I don't want to collect any more. Like,
this is weird because I've never seen you play a Mario game except when we played New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Well, I don't play all my games in front of you.
I know.
But there's just the coin. It's like wartime Germany and hyperinflation. There's just so many coins that I'm just like I'm putting them in my furnace to heat myself because they're just useless to me.
But
I just don't care to collect coins.
Yeah, it is a lot like the games we played in the past. And so, like, in that respect, well, how many jumps can you make and do this? But with every Mario game, they always introduce new stuff, new play mechanics, new challenges that haven't been in the previous games. Last night, I went home after playing at your house, I found some things that I hadn't seen the other day when I played. So I've only played it 3 times. My house with the lady, and then your house with you, and then one time on my own. And so I found some stuff out that I didn't know when I was playing it with you, so I went back to the save game that I had at home to try and get those things.
You're very completionist.
Yes.
I must say.
Yes. But the point is, like, I'm trying to play it with my friends and keep that save game, and so like I experience it with them. Like, so I'm going to bring it home over Thanksgiving and play with the family and whatever. But I did want to go back and see some of the stuff I'd missed without going forward in the game. And there's like this one bit where you're supposed to go back to a level you already played and get Toad, who's stuck in a coin block. And the gameplay changes because you have to carry him the whole time. It's like one of those, first person shooters where you're supposed to lead someone to the exit and not let them die.
Right.
There's a word for that type of mission, right?
Lame.
No, you know what it's called, Rich.
Don't let them die.
No.
Escort
what about
mission?
Resident Evil?
Escort.
Yeah, an escort mission.
That's okay. Right.
So it's an escort mission, but you have to carry Toad.
So it's not really escort because you're carrying them. Escort missions stink because
they do.
Usually the other party is not under your control, and S happens without you being able to do anything
about
it.
Sometimes you have to throw him, though.
And the AI
put him down for a minute.
As dumb as possible.
Yeah. Or, like, you want to go get an extra life over here that you can only get when you're not carrying him, because you have to carry a shell to do it or something. So point is, though, like, you have to carry him through it, and that changes the game, right? Because you have to keep your finger on the one button, which for the old schoolers would be comparable to the B button. You know how you run if you hold that? So, like, you've got to hold that in order to hold Toad, and so you can't let go of it, which means there's some other things you can't do. Like I said, pick up a shell, right?
It's interesting.
And so it changes it a bit. And then, of course, I die, and then I go to another level, and I try to do something, and I fail at that. Oh, because you only get Toad every once in a while. Anyway, I was going back and forth between these two levels that I wasn't beating for a long, long time. Fairly embarrassed, actually.
Don't worry, we won't tell anyone.
Bottom line of the story, though, new Super Mario Bros. Wii, good game. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And it's the final segment.
The final episode.
Yet again, already.
We've still got a bunch of stuff we wanted to talk about.
We do, as usual.
And as usual, I'll mention our sponsor once again, the University of Advanced Technology, which you can learn more about at uat.edu. If you want to learn more about our website or our show, our program, chatterboxgameshow.com is the place to go. Norm, are we going to be on in December all four of those weeks, four or five?
I think we are, yes. Oh, wait. I think so, yeah, yes.
Okay. So that is a whole bucket of certainty.
Yeah, I think the tonight was the only other night in December that, as a matter of fact, the entire season that will be have problems.
Okay, cool. Well, we didn't have problems today, so that's awesome.
So no problems.
So I guess we'll be around all through December. And for once, like Christmas Eve, like won't fall anywhere near us. Like no holidays really are anymore. So that's cool. Anyway, so new Super Mario Bros. Wii. That's what I wanted to talk about, along with Drag Me Home for the iPhone, which I urge you to get simply because it helps awesome indie developers. And, you know, it's something that I try to think, what would be the best use for this game? I think to keep kids quiet.
If it were.
That's what it's good for. It's like, oh, why? Because they can handle repetition forever.
That's why you give them Pokemon.
You get a whiny kid, and you say, oh, here, try this, right? And it gives you that 10 minutes at the restaurant when you're trying to order or whatever. That's a good use for these time wasters. But I don't know. I've only returned to it a few times when I wanted to show it to someone, I think.
So here's something we haven't talked about yet today.
I've been trying to.
Assassin's Creed 2?
Well, okay. Okay. Let's talk about Assassin's Creed 2.
Did you play it yet?
Okay. Actually, I haven't. It's not even about Assassin's Creed 2 per se, but
is it about the Assassin's Creed that you've had for years and not played?
I want everybody, and by everybody I mean the listeners and Alon, to hear Rich's description of what happens when he plays Assassin's Creed,
even though he hasn't played it.
No, I own the game. I've owned it for like 9 months.
The original
Assassin's Creed. I have played it for maybe an hour and a half, but it's so
just recently
mind-numbing. I played it like months
Rich,
ago.
Tell us about what
is
was
the
so
storyline mind-numbing? Because it is.
It's
or
not
is
even
it the gameplay.
It's the gameplay. So I
by mind-numbing, do you mean crappy?
I decide. I hear all these people talking about Assassin's Creed 2. I think, okay, maybe I want to play Assassin's Creed 2. So I'm gonna go back to play Assassin's Creed. Because it's sitting on my shelf and I haven't played it for more than an hour and a half or 2 hours. So
you went to go play it recently again?
I went to play it yesterday.
Okay.
And it's at the part where it's basically I'm leaving whatever city. I have to go to Damascus and I hop on my horse. And so in order
to... Is it a high horse?
I hop on the horse. So in order to stay like in stealth mode to not draw attention, there's the standard walk on the horse, which is a normal horse walking speed, and then there's the pressing the L or right trigger, which
is
running.
Do you mean walk on the horse or walk while
on the horse? It doesn't matter. Normal walking speed, and then there's whatever trigger which makes you run, like sprint on the horse.
Yeah.
And then there's the button that makes you like stealth or whatever, so you walk super, super freaking slow.
Yeah.
And you have to walk
super slow. Are we still on a horse?
You're on a horse. And you're walking slower than I walk on legs. Me, myself, walk faster than the horse in this game. And if
but you're
don't
in stealth
walk,
mode, of course.
But it's not in stealth mode. It's like you're walking through this market on a road.
Now, Rich, you can't just go stampeding through Middle Eastern markets here. I mean,
it's not even, it's a road between two cities. And it's not like everybody that walks on this road on a horse is going a mile per hour.
Look, you have to go the speed limit even in the Middle Ages.
What's your concern?
So what happens
here? Why
are
you walking
stealthily on the road? Super slow, it draws attention to you. And then all these guards are like, hey, that horse is walking at normal speed. Let's go attack him. And then all these guys just charge you and just kill you.
Why are there guards on the road?
Exactly. Exactly my point.
I ask myself this question on a daily basis, and all the guards have red and blue lights on their cars.
Okay.
Why are there guards on the road?
But it's not like I'm going 65 down on a 20 mile per hour road here. It's a dirt path on a horse. Horse has a speed limit. It can't go faster than X amount.
See, now I don't think that much of Assassin's Creed either way.
It's just,
But really, I mean, like, you're just going to throw away the whole thing just because, like, it's not as fast enough for you?
I couldn't get to Damascus, and so I just turned the game off. Like, I literally couldn't get to where I needed to go to kill a person.
You couldn't help yourself. You couldn't just go slow.
Hey, guess
what? The game is supposed to kill people.
What if you jump off the horse? I think I remember the part you're talking about now.
If I get off the horse, then I go even slower!
No. You don't go slower than the horse in stealth mode.
Yes, because then I have to walk in stealth. Yeah. It's ridiculous. If you're not in stealth mode, you're drawing attention to yourself, and then you die. Because there's like five people charge at you.
Maybe you just stink.
Maybe I do. But
so here's the thing. That game sucked for a couple reasons. Supposedly the second one is way better. So just like you, I've been reading these things and I want to play it. But I haven't, and I probably won't. Maybe if the demo's out. Is there a demo for it right now?
I don't believe so.
No. There'll be a demo soon enough. And I'll try it on the old Xbox. But yeah, that first one, my whole... You've heard me complain before, like... The free running or parkour that's in the game can only be done perpendicular to the ground. And that bugged the hell out of me.
They run out of time. What do you want to do?
Yeah. There might have been some wall running in it, only if like perfectly sideways. But if you wanted to climb a building, like, don't go a diagonal. I couldn't handle that. So I decided that it sucked for that reason. Because they made such a big deal out of the free running. And then they screwed it out.
Or sideways.
Exactly.
And that's why you don't hype a game until it's done.
Exactly. Now, what were some other more political-ish topics that we had?
You know what's really popular? Yeah, there's a lot of lawsuit news going around lately.
But is it all one dude?
It's only 90% one dude. Before we get to the one dude, so we described last week, I think, where there was the whole thing with Microsoft banning tons and tons of accounts because they found that, you know, if you're accessing your account with a modded Xbox, that's
X. If you go onto Craigslist right now, you can get an Xbox 360 for like $80 if it's banned.
Yeah, so check this out.
People are dumping them.
There's a law firm who is, this is funny. Right? They've announced that they're considering filing a class action lawsuit about this. And so Microsoft has, in response, asserted their legal right to do this. But here's a wrinkle that most people don't tell you. The possible class action lawsuit is actually about consumers who have gotten banned getting back the prorated fees that they've paid for Xbox Live, which they cannot use anymore.
Yeah.
I read about this.
Which, you know what? That sounds legit to me. I mean, they can take away your service and ban you, but
now,
if I've paid for this amount and now you ban me, I mean, it seems fair. I should get what
you should
I have
get the remaining full months.
I should get the service that I have not used and cannot use that I've paid for back.
Now, are you talking about people being banned from Xbox Live, or are you talking about? I heard there was a lawsuit for people who are getting their consoles banned, which is a completely separate issue. People who are getting their consoles banned were saying they need to be refunded for Xbox Live, which is ridiculous because their live account is still active. They still have gold. They still have
But they don't have don't have the means to actually use that service.
Yeah, because they broke the terms of service.
Okay, you're now we're degenerating.
So there are both
ridiculousness.
Both of these arguments make sense.
If you're breaking a rule,
but you should have the option of getting the refund.
You shouldn't. If you're breaking a rule that you agreed to, and Microsoft says if you don't obey this rule, you're going to get banned, and then you don't obey the rule and you get banned.
The argument is that they shouldn't be allowed to say that. Whether or not you agreed to it, they shouldn't be allowed to make that claim.
Why
not?
It's
more subtle than that. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I listen to lawyering shows.
I play one on TV.
On a regular basis, and so I feel like I have the authority to say this. It's been proven time and time again that regardless of the circumstances, if you pay for a product or service that cannot be rendered, you deserve to get that payment back. Anytime there's a legal dispute over something, you know, you have a contractor come over to make a pool in your backyard and they make half a pool, they have to be paid for the half pool they made. They do work, they get paid for the work they do, they don't get paid for the work they don't do. You pay for a service, if you receive a service in return, then you've paid for it. If you've paid money and you haven't received the service in return, you deserve to get that money back.
Okay, so Rich's argument is valid for this reason. While you're not accessing it with your Xbox 360, you are still getting a service. In that, they maintain your data, including your gamer score and all that stuff, on their servers. You also maintain...
That is not a service. Continue.
It is, because it's something, right? You also maintain access to the games that you can get from other systems, and you could always get another system and continue to get those services when we're talking about the banned consoles.
I'm very dubious about that.
Right.
I wouldn't consider those actual services.
In addition, you still have an Xbox Live account that you can go on the internet with any computer and access and see your achievements and then communicate with other people between accounts. You can
That's not a real service. You're grasping at straws.
That is what the service is.
It is some sliver of service, which means you are still getting
something. It is an almond sliver of service.
And so that's why I'm telling you... If you request it, it's not normally refundable, but you should be able to get it back if you get banned.
Sure,
because
you get what you got back, you get my stuff, I get... You get your stuff, I get my stuff, let's go
If
home.
Requested, I think you should be able to get it back.
I agree.
No.
Yeah, this is great. We have three different opinions on this one point. I love
it. And we'll have to just
And I'm the one in the middle.
We'll have
this
to leave
crazy.
It as it is.
All right.
For another day.
We'll be back next week after the Thanksgiving holiday.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.